Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We're starting from the Mishnah of Achoshish Bishinah. There is 11 lines from the top, the middle of the Amud over here. So the Mishnah is continuing with the Dinim Derabanan of the Isra of Refu on Shabbos. The Mishnah says now, Achoshish Bishinah Loi Gama Ben Asachomet. So someone who has pain in his teeth, he should not sip vinegar through his teeth, because by doing that, that is something that is, nicker is for refuah. Therefore, it's going to be Asra. Vametabalu Kedarko. However, you're allowed to dip food into vinegar in the way that normal people do dip things all the time into food, right? And the Gemara always talks about it. When you wash for Motzi, it's also Gemara and Brachos. You always have to tovel, you have to be metabol, you have to dip it into a dip to make the bread better. V'im nisrap, however, sorry. And then if you got cured by doing that nisrapa, then it's okay. As we mentioned before, that doing something that healthy people normally do is totally fine, provided again that you do not, explicitly state that this is done because you wanted to do it for refuah. Now the Mishnah continues, Achoshesh bin Masnav, someone who feels pains in his loins, lo yisoch shemet yayin v'chometz. He shouldn't smear them with wine or vinegar. And Rashi points out, because no one does this except for medicinal purposes, so therefore it's clear that you're doing a nicker for refuah, and therefore it's asar. V'lsachus or shemen, however, you're allowed to smear them with oil, because that's something that healthy people normally do. They smear things with oil. V'lo shemen v'red, however, not with the rose oil, which apparently is very expensive. Now to which the Mishnah continues, however, since it's something that is very expensive, and apparently children of kings, meaning princes, would use this all the time, so then they would be allowed to smear this rose oil on their wounds. Well, because I was mentioned before that it would be their derech, that is their way to do it during the weekdays, so therefore it's going to be mutter for them. It's not nikkur that it's for a fuah, and it's going to be mutter for them to do it on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, now Reb Shimon says, no, not just for Bnei Malachim, rather Reb Shimon says, Reb Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael Bnei Malachim Hem, that all of Klal Yisrael are like these Bnei Malachim, all the children of the kings, we're the princes, so therefore, just like princes are allowed to do it during the week, during Shabbos rather, so too of all of Klal Yisrael would be allowed to as well. But let's just ask the kasha. At the end of the day, we're talking about something that's extremely expensive. And no one in their right mind would do this unless they're doing it for a fool, because something that's very expensive, you don't just put it and smear it on your body. So he says, how could it be that Bnei Malachim should change it? So he says, Rabbi Yashiv says very nicely, they change the Metzias, that we Mamish are children of the kings. That's how it has to be viewed. And even though it's very expensive, since children of kings don't care how expensive something is, so we're children of kings, so we don't care either. And halachic ramifications over here, that according to Rav Shimon, we're going to change the halacha, that we are all viewed as Bnei Malachim, and therefore that. So he just said also, it's parenthetic, it's a chiyuv for us to realize that we are Bnei Malachim, the way we act, we have to show that we are higher level than everyone else, that we have higher midos than everyone else, that we are we're more honest than everyone else, all that, Bnei Malachim, we are dignified. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, no, Rami le Ravacha Richa tohu Ravacha bar Papa le Rabbi Abau. So it was called the Ravacha Richa, Tor Ravacha, who was, we call him Ravacha bar Papa. He says the Kasha from Rabbi Abau. He says, Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah, Hachoshish Bishinah Lagma Ben as the Chometz. So we say that if someone feels pain in their teeth, you're not supposed to sip vinegar through them. The Meimra, the Chometz Mahalashinah, this seems to imply that vinegar is very good and healthy for one's teeth. However, actually, the Pasuk tells us in for Mishlei, the Pasuk says that Chometz Lashinah, and the Hamshach of the Pasuk tells us that someone like vinegar is to the teeth and like smoke is to the eyes. So as a lazy person, if a person is sending a shliach and he's using a lazy person, you can't really trust him. Meaning it's not a good thing. Vinegar to the teeth is a comparison to a lazy person, to those someone who's sending him, so that's not a good comparison at all. So clearly, the vinegar to the teeth is a bad thing based on this pasuk in Mishlei. So the Gemara says two tirus. The Gemara's first guy says, "Lo kasha ha bekiyoi depri ha bechala." The first answer is because the pasuk was comparing vinegar to with the teeth. That is talking about using, Rashi describes it, is using unripe grapes, and that's going to be harmful to the teeth. So that's referring to, that's what we're talking about in Chometz over there. However, our Mishnah is referring to vinegar, regular vinegar, not through the unripe grapes. That is going to be helpful and beneficial. The Ibai Seima, or you can give a different teretz. Hava b'chala, that both the Mishnah and the Pasuk are talking about vinegar, and so there's no steer, why not? The Gemara says, Hadikamaka, Adalekamaka. The Mishnah is speaking a case where there is a wound, in which case it would be healthy. Hadalekamaka, no, no. The Gemara fleshes it out. Ikamaka, Masay. However, when there is a wound, the vinegar is going to be healthy. Lekamaka, which is what the Pasuk is talking about, just stop putting the vinegar, that would merape, make your loosen. It would loosen your teeth and make it, Rashi says, it would like shrink your gums out, and it would make it more painful, not be good for you. That's what the Gemara's teretz is. Now the Mishnah, the Mishnah also tells us lo yigama behen es hachometz, that someone who feels pain should not sip vinegar through his teeth, because again it's a refuah. Gemara says vatana, we learn a brisa lo yigama upolit. You're not allowed to sip the vinegar and then spit it out, because it's obvious you're gargling that you're doing it for the purposes of refuah. However, megama upolea, you are allowed to sip the vinegar and swallow it, because sometimes people will sip and swallow vinegar even not necessarily for the purposes of health. So therefore, since this is normal derech, then we're going to say that it's mutter. So this brisa seems to say, this chilak over here, which our Mishnah made no mention of, that our Mishnah seemed to say that across the board, it's going to be usher to sip vinegar for the toothache. It doesn't matter if you're swallowing, it doesn't matter if you are spitting it out. Our Mishnah seems to imply both cases are going to be usher, whereas the brisa makes the chilak. So Gemara answers now, Omar Abaye, kitznan, nami masnisin, megama politznan. Abaye says you have to answer our Mishnah when our Mishnah was telling you that vinegar is usher to sip. That's only in regards to in your sipping it and spitting it out, like the brisa wanted to qualify. But if you're going to swallow it up, the Mishnah would agree with the brisa. We're making a kimta now in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah really was only talking about one case. So that's what we must be stating in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues, Rava Amar Hava, Rava says that afilu tema megama ubolea, that you can say that even the Mishnah is talking about that you're sipping and swallowing it, yet it's not going to contradict the brisa, because we're talking about two different cases. What are they? Kan lifne tibo, kan lachar tibo. The brisa is referring to the case of someone who's sipping and swallowing it before the meal, right? Before dipping, literally means before they dip the bread and whatever they're dipping, that's when you make hamotzis, that's before the meal. And that's going to be, that's where it's going to be mutter to swallow it. However, after the meal, you're not allowed to even swallow it. That would be what the Mishnah is talking about, because then Rashi points out, at that point, it's going to be clear that you're doing it for medical purposes, and therefore, even if you're going to be swallowing it, it's going to be usher, and it's clear that you're taking it for medication. The Gemara asks a kasha now that Rava seemed to make a chilak between before the meal and after the meal from a different principle and completely. Gemara says, "Venema medilifnei tibol shari," but we're going to say that venema medilifnei tibol shari, that we're going to say that since it's going to be mutter to swallow the vinegar before the meal, la'achar tibol namei shari, so that it should also be permitted after the meal. The concept of ha'wil over here, that since something is mutter in one context, we're going to apply it, that heter should apply to another context as well. The Shamin of the Rava, the Islay, we hold that Rava holds his principle of since, that literally means that since it's mutter in context A, it's going to be mutter in context B. And I shouldn't point out that this is only for dinim dirabanan, and on dinim dirabanan, we usually are going to qualify it that going to be permitted to allow it in other circumstances. Gemara says, then what is the case? There's no malacha, no dinim dirabanan that's going to be permitted on Shabbos, and then Yom Kippur is going to be asr. Hold the Shabbos, sure, something is mutter on Shabbos, Yom Kippur and Nam Rishari, that on Yom Kippur is also going to be mutter. What are we discussing over here? So the Mishnah in Beitza tells us that it's mutter for a person to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. And why is that? Because the Gemara loses lashon of Znirakin and Mekar, because it looks like you're just simply cooling off. It doesn't look like you're doing anything else. So why would it be usher otherwise? So Rashi applies, because if you're doing that, it's Znirakin Mesakin. You're repairing, just like you're repairing a person. A person was Tamei, now he's Taurus, then you would start thinking, I could start repairing Kalim, which would be an Isser Dereso. So therefore, we would have made a Gzera that it should be usher because it's Znirakin Mesakin. However, since it looks like you're just cooling off, then it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara asks a question over. The Gemara says that only maybe in regards to Shabbos, where one is allowed to bathe, right? We know that Shabbos you're allowed to bathe, maker din, later Takana we don't, but the Maisa you're allowed to bathe, as opposed to Yom Kippur, when bathing for pleasure, we know is one of the Chamishni Nuyim, is Aser. So therefore you should assume that when you're going into the mikvah on Yom Kippur, it's going to be Aser, because it's going to be viewed as Misakin. Why isn't Stam an Aser to go into the water because it's one of the Chamishni Nuyim? So Tosos just pointed out over there, because we're discussing, we hold of Tvila Bizmana Mitzvah. If you hold Tvila Bizmana Mitzvah, that going into the mikvah on the day where you have to go to the mikvah, let's say need after 7 days, midaraisa, let's say he goes to the mikvah, so on that seventh day, it's a mitzvah daraisa for her to go, and therefore it's going to uproot the din of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not considered you're going for pleasure, it's bichlal, just a mitzvah, so you're not going for pleasure. Okay, that's a side point. But the Gemara is pointing out that since at the end of the day, it's forbidden, make her a din to go on Yom Kippur, so why doesn't it look like Nira Kimisakin? Because meaning on Shabbos, you can tie into the other people are bathing, so you're allowed to bathe also. So when it comes to Yom Kippur, though, you can't have that tana because no one's bathing, right? So therefore, shouldn't we assume that it's going to be only mutter on Shabbos to go to the mikvah, and on Yom Kippur it's going to be usher? To which Rav responded, "Not there's hoil, that since we're more machmer always on Shabbos, because Shabbos is an iser skila and not an iser karis as Yom Kippur, so it's more chamer. So you can't tell me there's going to be a gzera d'rabbanan that applies only on Yom Kippur and it's not going to apply by Shabbos again. So therefore, Rav would come out that saying that it's mutter to go to the mikvah on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur as well. Again, assuming tefillah b'zmana mitzvah. And lemaisa, nowadays, we don't assume tefillah b'zmana is fully b'mitzvah. We do tell a woman, without tolim bias, whatever, because of the whole complicated in Rishonim, why is it we don't hold it? Maybe either way, we don't pass like that amar, or let's say because we count the 5 days beforehand, so maybe that's why it's not tefillah b'zmana mitzvah. But either way, we still allow going to the mikvah on Friday night, only if you couldn't have gone any of the days before. And b'pashas, again, because we allow it, we assume somewhat that it's tefillah b'zmana mitzvah. Not getting into all the details right now, but lemaisa, it would be a little bit different than mamash the Gemara. We know that our mikvahs are closed on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. The only 2 days a year that mikvahs are ever closed. So we don't fully hold like this, but lemaisa, that's what comes out of this sugya of Rava. So again, why do we bring this whole concept? Because we're saying that Rava does hold of Hoel, that since something is mutter on Shabbos, Rava says it can't be, I can't entertain the fact that it's going to be mutter on, it's not going to be mutter on Yom Kippur as well. So then what comes out of here is that since it's mutter to eat it before the meal, then it must be that it's also mutter to eat it at the end of the meal as well. So the Gemara says you're right. So therefore you have to assume Adrabi Rava Mehaf, that Rava, once he agreed to the principle of Hoel, he then retracted his answer about answering the Mishnah. Right? So Rashi points out that he must have gone back to Abaye's Teretz to explain the Mishnah was talking about that Abaye told us that that we're talking about that if he sips and spits it out, that would be usher, but the Mishnah would be allowing you to swallow it. That's how Rava would come out lemaisa. So the Gemara says, but maybe, why are you assuming that he retracted the halacha, the ruling about the vinegar because of Hoel? Maybe he retracted his statement about Hoel on Yom Kippur, that it's mutter, that it's really, maybe it's really usher to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, you can't assume that way, papashas, because Rava wouldn't go against explicit races. It tells you, Titania, kol that anyone who's going into the mikvah is allowed to go in the normal manner. And this price is telling us you're allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So therefore, we're assuming right now that you would be allowed to go. And therefore, again, that we don't have the gzera according to Rava. And therefore, clearly, he still holds the principle of Hoel, that it's mutter on Yom Kippur. It must be mutter on Shabbos because of the principle of Hoel. Again, we pointed out, nowadays, we do not allow mikvahs on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av. Okay, now continuing the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Bimasno, someone who feels pain in his loins. And then we have Machlokas, the Tanakhana of Shimon, who how do we view B'nai Yisrael, Malachan or not Malachan? The Gemara says, Amar of Abba, Bar Zabda, Amar Rav, Halacha, Kereb Shimon, Rav, that said the name of Rav, that Rav Paskin, like Rav Shimon, that even a regular person is allowed to use this Shemit Vera, the rose oil, because they're B'nai Malachim. The Gemara says, Lamimra, the Rav, Kereb Shimon, Sferalei, this seems to indicate that Rav agrees with the ruling of Rav Shimon, who is Mekel over here. So then, V'hamar Rav Shimi, Barchia, Meshmei, the Rav, so is Rav himself said, hi, Mr. Christ, it is Isa that if you have a stopper on the barrel, you're also to put it on Yom Tov. So this is going to be called Davar She'ina Miskaven. We're going to get into more of the details in a second. I just want to put the first kasha, then we'll get to the second point. That we're saying over here that you have an undetended balacha, and yet Rav Shimon and Lechora would say that it's mutter, yet Rav said that this is Usr. So how could it be that in this case, he paskins Kol B'nai Yisrael Malachim Heim, as opposed to the concept when it comes to Davar She'ina Miskaven, he doesn't paskin like Reb Shimon. So Rashi points out that apparently Rav was being makel like Rav Shimon, so therefore he shouldn't make it like Rav Shimon when it comes to Davar She'ena Miskaven as well, that he should have had these two kulas, to which Tosos is very bothered by this. What in the world is going on over here? Just because I paskin like Rav in one context does not make me need to paskin like Rav in another context. Where do you get that from? We paskin all the time. If a person is a big gadol of Israel, he has the right, let's say, Rav Nevisal Shita, can in certain circumstances he could see the Shita of Rav Moshe making more sense, and certain times the Shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman making more sense. You don't necessarily have to all across the board, since you paskin like Rav Moshe and Hilchah Shabbos in one context, so for the rest of Hilchah Shabbos you have to paskin, or the rest of all of the halachas you have to follow like Rav Moshe. What do you mean? If they're Hagia Lo Ran, you're Gadol Yisrael, you're someone who can paskin a Shaila, you don't always have to follow the same Shita. So what in the world is going on over here? So Tosos is very bothered by that. So Tosos says a different answer to this based on Rabbeinu Tam. They say based on that maybe we're talking about over here that really it is in getting involved with the Davar She'ena Miskaven. Because we're talking about Davka using the Shemen, and we're talking about here that it was really used for pleasure. However, sometimes it could be used for Refuah. However, it's only a side effect that sometimes could come out, so therefore it's similar to a Davar She'ena Miskaven, because it's not necessarily going to be for Refuah, and therefore it would therefore be in the Parsha of Davar She'ena Miskaven. So that the Rashba, the Chor, gives Teretz for would at least help Rashi a little bit, is that maybe we have a Masorah that apparently if you followed the Kula of B'nai Malach, halacha, for whatever reason, we're assuming that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, that you would have the Masorah to follow Rabbi Shimon Lakula as well. That for whatever reason that we had a Masorah, we knew that they had a Masorah, that was the case. That if you pass in Lakula, then it's going to be assumed that you also pass in across the board, like they must have had a tradition that they went across the board Hilchos Shabbos to be make it like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that's the Rashi's interesting there. Perhaps that would answer for Rashi. Okay, but now going back to the question, what exactly was the stira over here? Because that Rav told us that when it came to using stop of a barrel, Rashi points out in the Ksuvos, it's actually used like a cloth, which you're wrapping around this barrel, and therefore this cloth is going to get very wet. So Rav said that it's usher to push it in its place on Yontiv because you're doing a malacha. You're doing a malacha of schita, of squeezing it out. So what exactly is the issue of schita? This is a very famous, important Tosfos over here. Comes up in Ksuvos Davav as well. That when it comes over here, that the stopper of the barrel. So Tosfos get into what exactly is the issue. So Tosfos give two suggestions of what exactly the issue of the schita over here, of this cloth. It's either melaben, that you're cleaning out the cloth, that's general why your schita is going to be usher, or mefarik, which is told in the dash, that when it comes to mefarik, is that you're threshing, meaning you're removing the wine from the cloth, which is looking like removing the grain kernels from their husks. So now, there's major differences between these two explanations. Let's say the second explanation of mefarik, told in the dash, that's only going to be the iser if you actually are if you're going to be using the thing that's coming out of it. If the wine is going to waste immediately, let's say, or anything that's being used is going to waste immediately, then it would not be subject to the iser of mefarik. And the same thing would be, let's say, when it comes to malabe, when it comes to cleaning, it would not be subject to that din if it's derech lichlich, if the whole thing is getting dirty, right? When it, first of all, that's an important halacha. Tosfos also raises over here is the concept of shriyasu zeu kibuso, that if a person puts water on his garment, he has violated the iser deraisa of melaben. A lot of people are not familiar with this. This is mamish an iser deraisa. If you get your shirt stained, there's an iser deraisa to pour water on it and clean it out. That's mamish the iser of melaben. So Tosfos discuss over here. So then why? What's the gather of melaben? When is it going to be usher? So the general accepted answer is that if it's derech lichluch, that if you're doing it only to if the thing is getting dirty, then that's clearly not melaben. Like for example, when we wash our hands and you have a washing towel to dry your hands, so then why is that mutter? That's a cloth. That's something that you're putting what's your aser kibbutz, so you're putting water on it. So that bepashas is because that's derech lichluch, because you're getting the washing towel dirty. So therefore, based on this Tosfos, this gedder over here, we say that it's going to be mutter. Another answer Tosfos gives, which isn't really so accepted lamaisa, but it's important to note, is that if the thing is already clean, then washing water on it, so you know why you don't need to clean it. If you have a brand new white shirt and you're pouring water on it, it's clearly not for the purpose of melaben. So that's not going to be the aser deraisa of melaben over here. But again, so this is all the shaila. So the reason Tosfos would say is just maybe over here is not melaben is because we're dealing with the case of you using the wine or whatever it is to get. So the wine over here is going to if you're using it for the wine, it's clearly getting it dirty. You're not making it cleaner. So therefore, lachora, it's going to be mutter mitzad melaben. So maybe you have to come out to the fact that it's befarik. Then you have to assume that you're using it. Okay, not again to all the details of Tosfos, but it's a very, very important Tosfos. If you want to look inside, you get a lot of rayas and different gemaras. But this is a key Tosfos over here for a lot of different lachas that come up on Hilchos Shabbos. So now the Gemara continues. Now the Gemara is again. So we were saying over here that he says it's usher, but Pashas and we're saying that it's davar shenu miskaven. It should be mutter lefir Rav Shimon. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? This isn't davar shenu miskaven. It's not inherently going to get squeezed out. It's for sure going to get squeezed out. In which case, the Gemara says, vayi afilu Rav Shimon is going to agree. Da baye v'rav damer tavai moed Rav Shimon p'sek reishav v'lo yamos. Rav Shimon agrees that when something is definitely going to happen, right? You're going to cut off the chicken head, and it's definitely going to. He's not going to die. Obviously, when something is vade going to happen, it is going to be mutter, and therefore usher rather, and therefore it's going to be Rav Shimon is going to be. Moda that it's aser. That was a whole shaila that the Aruch also was quoted by the Tosfos. Okay, I can't get more to it, but the Aruch also talked about psik reishit lelichalei on an iser over here. What, maybe this is going to be mutter, and Tosfos could bring rayas from this Gemara that not necessarily in the Gemara Tosfos was tuvus. Okay, let's go weiter. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says the Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav. So the Gemara says, wait a second, is that really true that Rav paskin like Rav Shimon? Rav Chiya bar Ashi said in the name of Rav that halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that it says davar shenu miskaven is aser. So Rav didn't paskin like Rav Shimon. Now the Gemara continues listing a whole different people who said in the name of Rav, and even Rav himself who said it not. So the Gemara says, Rav Chana, Rav Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Kerb Shimon. And then Shmuel Paskin like Kerb Shimon, and the Gemara continues, Rav Chiya bar Avin, Masin, Leib, Lo Gavin. Rav Chiya bar Avin learned it, that Rav and Shmuel themselves argued, they didn't quote anyone in the name of it, that Rav Amar Halacha, Rav said himself, Halacha, Vaz, Yehuda, and Shmuel said, Amar Halacha, Rav Shimon, Halacha, Vaz, Rav Shimon. So we see clearly that Rav is not Paskin like Rav Shimon, rather he's Paskin like Rav Yehuda. So how are we going to answer this? The Gemara answers, Amar Rav, Ani, Babi, Chor, Shiva, Kamina, that I And the line in the group, the big, who is this line in the group? The Gemara says, Umanu, who is this line in the group that said this? Rav Chiya bar Avin. Rav Chiya bar Avin said together, Halachik Rav Shimon, Vilav Mitamina. We're not Paskin. Rav really doesn't follow Rav Shimon across the board when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. He doesn't really follow Rav Shimon when it comes to this halacha either. He is only agreeing to Rav Shimon in theoretically what comes out Lamaisa, that I agree fundamentally how he got to the halachic conclusion that he said, that it's mutter, but not for his reasoning whatsoever. And what is that? Says the Gemara now. My halachik Rav Shimon, Vilav Mitamina. What does it mean that you agree with Rabbi Shimon, but not for his reasoning? And Rashi says, "Ilam Rabbi Shimon." You're going to assume that Lachav Rabbi Shimon is allowing you to use this oil, Vilav Mitami, the rose oil, Vilav Mitami, not because of his reasoning. The Ilam Rabbi Shimon suffered Masir, because Shimon holds that it actually is healing. Rav suffered Lamasir, Rav holds that it doesn't heal. So therefore, I'm meaning we come to the same conclusion. If it's not therapeutic, it's not helpful. You're not using it for medicine. Then for sure, Rav is going to hold his mutter. The Gemara says that theoretically would work as the final maskana for the halacha. However, Vesaver Rav Lamasir, does Rav really hold that it doesn't heal? Vehav Mediktani. But they can't be right, because the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to Bnei Melachim, they smear this rose oil on their wounds. So now the Bnei Melachim, the children of the prince, the princes are allowed to do this. Mechlal Demasa, we see that if it passes, it's going to be helpful. Again, because why does the Tanna Kamma have to go out of its way to tell us that it's allowed to be used by the princes on Shabbos? We see clearly that the Tanna Kamma is arguing with Shimon, says that it also is therapeutic and helpful. They just say that it's only going to be mutter for Bnei Melachim and not for regular Hamonam, but it's still something that is helpful and it's something that would be giving you benefit on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're right. And then Rav wouldn't argue Lechora on the Tanna Kamma and on Rabbi Shimon. So Rav, how are we going to answer this? Gemara says, right. So that can't be the explanation of what we meant by Rav agrees with Rabbi Shimon, but not by his reasoning. Rather, Gemara says, Ella, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon d'shari. The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, who allows you to use this oil, Shemen Verit, on Shabbos. However, la mitame, not for his reasoning. De'ilu Rabbi Shimon sever ava gavda lo shchiach shari. Rabbi Shimon holds that even though people don't necessarily use this, it's not common to use this rose oil, it's going to be mutter. However, Rav sever, Rav holds, ishchiach in, v'iz lo shchiach lo. Rav holds that if it is, in fact, common, it's going to be allowed to be used because everyone's using it. It's nothing to do with Bnei Melachim. That if it's something that's common in the town, then everyone's going to allow you to use it. However, if it's not common, we're not going to be allowed to use it. In Rav's area, it was apparently common, so that's why he held nothing to do with Rav Shimon, meaning he held that just came out, halacha maisa, yes, he agreed, but then nothing to do with Rav Shimon, because in his town it was common, and it was common enough that even the commoner was using it, and not just Bnei Melachim, therefore Rav permitted it. Now with that, we finish Hadalach Shmona Shratzim, Hadalach Shmona Shratzim, Hadalach Shmona Shratzim, a very quick introduction to the next coming parak. In this parak, we're going to discuss mainly tying and untying, the kosher umatir. So when it comes to tying, so the question is going to be to define, to clarify what exactly is defined as a knot. What did the Torah say is going to be a knot? The Chachamim are going to have different things to discuss this. Also, what materials is going to create it? All these are going to be discussed in our parak. And then Agav, the second topic which is coming up in our parak, is an Agav point, but it's going to come up, is the idea of discussing things for later on Shabbos. It's not this, that's not nogea for Shabbos, right? Preparing for after Shabbos. So that is the issue is going to be discussed. Okay, so with that, we're going to start the parak. Now, the Mishnah says, "Ve'elu ksharim." These are the ksharim that shechayev an aleiah, that a person is going to be chayev for if he ties them on Shabbos. Kesher akmalim ve'kesher asapinin. The camel of the driver, of the driver of the camel, and his knot that he uses, and the civics, and also the sapinin is the sailor's knot. V'kshem shu chayev al kishuron, just as you're tiable for tying them, kaf. Also for untying them. Generally, when we have, let's say, bona and soser, kosher matir, kosher mochik, all the ones that seem to be the destructive one, it's always going to be like soser amanas livnos. And so here too, also kesher, you're going to open, untie them back for the purpose, for a productive purpose. It's not going to be something that's destructive. So now there's a fundamental machlok as the Rashi and the Rif. And the Rambam goes to like the Rif, also meaning Rashi versus the Rambam and the Rif, as to what is going to be defined as a malacha that you're going to be chayav mida oraisa in. Is this just an example, or is this something that's a fundamental rule? So according to Rashi, these are just examples. The Torah is telling you that any tying a permanent knot is going to be usher. However, the Rambam and the Rif, they say that the knots that we're mentioning in the Mishnah right now, they're not just knots that are going to be examples. Rather, they're knots that have two fundamental categories. That one, they're permanent, and the second is they're maisa uman, that they're done, they're professional, they're done very well. So therefore, if you only have one of them, you're not going to be chayav midor reisa. That's a major machlokas, the Rashi versus the Rif. So now the Gemara, the Mishnah continues. We're going to actually bring a raya for in the next Mishnah. Rav Vazner is a beautiful raya for the riff. The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Kesher, Shu Yachal Atiro Be'achas Miyad, Avin Chayav. Rabbi Meir says that any knot which you can untie with one hand, you're not going to be Chayav for. The Gemara says, My Kesher, Gmalim, Kesher, Sopinim. What is the Mishnah referring to when we talk about the camel driver's knot and the sailor's knot? So now, Agav, we have to mention over here that the camel's nose apparently was pierced with a type of knot, and there was a permanent knot and also a less permanent knot that was attached to that knot. So the same thing also with regards to the ship, there was a permanent knot that would hold down the ship, and then there was another knot that was tied to it. So I was wondering which knot we're discussing. The Gemara says now, Ile makitra de katra bizmama, if you're going to say that we're talking about the knot that was through the nose ring, meaning the knot not connected to the nose ring, the less permanent one, vikitra, the kitra be eterna, and when it comes to the ship one also, the ship ring, the one that knot that is only connected to the side of it, the Gemara says the high kesher shenok shakayama, but these two are examples of something that's temporary, it's not a permanent knot. So how are you going to be chayav in them? So the Gemara says, "Ela kitcher does mama gufa." So rather, the Mishnah is referring to the knot, the nose ring itself, meaning the permanent knot, vekitcher gufa, and also the Easter rida gufa that also comes to the ship ring itself. These are the permanent knots in which it's going to be chayav. Now the Gemara wonders. Now the fiyashit does Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, "Bayrach ach duvai achid demaracha aniva derabbi Meir." When it comes to a bow, what's going to be its status? Lefiyashit does Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, "Explain the topic." Time my derabbi Meir mishum diachal atira ba'achas miyadavu. Is the reasoning of Rabbi Meir because the old you can untie the knot with one of her hands, but amelchal atira in this case also you can untie with one of her hands, or maybe Odimla time of the Meir Mishum Dilum Mahadik and Ha Mahadik. Maybe the whole reason the Meir was saying that you can untie with one hand is it's only a simon. It was a simon that it's something that's not tight. However, something is tight, even if you can untie it with one hand, it's still going to be chayav. To which the Gemara says, Teiku, that we don't know. We'll leave this unresolved. We're not sure what the answer to this will be. Now, the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah. So the Gemara says now, Yeshach Sharin Shein Chayav Nalayim, Bekeshach Malan Keshach Sabina. So there are certain knots which are not exactly going to be like the camel drivers, not the sailor knots. So now the Rav Vazra was bothered by this lashon. Why don't you just say more bekitzer? Should say the lashon that eluk sharim she'en chaylan. What do you have to say that emeila? I know that they're not like kesher shagman. What are you telling me that these are the knots which are not similar to the sailor's knot and the camel driver's knot? What do you mean? Why do you have to use that weird lashon? So he thinks that this is a raya for the riff and the Rambam that we're dafka saying that no, because it actually is similar properties to one of the nekudas over here. You need two things to be mechayim deraisa, right? So it really is a kesher shalkayama. It is something that's permanent. However, it's not. It is kesher shakayama. However, it's not considered ma'isa uman. So therefore, you're not going to be chayav. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Very beautifully lining up a raya that Rav Vazner brings for the riff of the Rambam. The Mishnah continues. Kosheris isha mepasa chaluka. The woman is allowed to tie the opening of her robe, v'chutis vacha, or the strings of her hat, v'shal paskaya, or Rashi describes it as like a wide belt that has laces on it, v'rtzuos min al v'sandal, or straps of a shoe, or sandal, v'nodos yain or shemen, or if you have these spouts of wine or oil, ukader shalbas, or a pot of meat. Rashi points out that the cloth sometimes was tied over the top of this pot instead of a lid. They used to tie it. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov omer, kosherin lefnei ba'ema v'shal shalot tetzer. Lezer ben Yaakov also says you're allowed to tie a rope in front of an animal in order that it doesn't go out on Shabbos. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Haguf akasha." We have a kasha though. Marta, you said that kish karen she'en chayav v'la kasha v'gamal and kasha sabanim. The first part of the Mishnah implies that this is still aser b'diavad chiyuva deleika ha'isur ika, because it says that you're not going to be chayav, meaning you're not chayav medar reisa, but it sounds like still medar banan. This is going to be iser aser. V'hadar tana yet the sefer of the Mishnah describes and says kosher's isha mepeta chaluka. The woman is allowed to lechachila tie the opening of her robe. Afi lechachila, Gemara says, now that sounds like it's totally permitted. So Gemara answers. Gemara says, "Halachik Gemara, this is what we're saying." Yesh k'sharin she'en chayav v'nalayim k'kesher gmal and kesher sabinin. That there are certain knots which are not going to be chayav, like the camel driver knot and the sailor knots. Umay ninu, and which are these? Kitra de kitra bizmama. Turning out to the next. Someone now the knot which is tied through the nose ring, meaning that knot which ties through the nose ring is sometimes left the nose ring for a week or two at a time. Rashi says, and therefore it's going to it's still going to be midarabanan. Be kitra de kitra be istreida, but the knot which is tied through the ship rings chiyuva de leika, it's still not going to be chayav midaraisa istreika. It's still going to be midarabanan usher. The Beis Yosef makes from the word of Rashi. Rashi says that you tie it for a week of two, then in order for it to be chayav midarabanan, even the isra midarabanan, it has to be at least 7 days. If it's less than 7 days, even midarabanan, it's going to be mutter. However, the Taz disagrees, and he says that anything a week or two is dafka this kitrish, and that's what we're discussing, that these things were the derech. However, normally something that's tied for more than 24 hours would be an isra midarabanan, even if it's not shel kayama. This comes up very nogea for choshev the Taz and how we tie a tie. How do you tie a tie on Shabbos? You shouldn't make it on Friday night and leave it for like a week and then put it back on the next Shabbos, because if you untie it, then the midrabanan lachora, you've done a violation anytime you've untied or tied it. You should dafka tie it and untie it. Okay, I'll get to more of that later, but that's that tie is very important. That diuk that comes from Rashi from the Beis Yosef is a big machlokas and has ramifications of ma'isa. Now the Gemara again says v'ekitra dekasim yitzra chayuva deleika. There's going to be no derech chayuva midaraisa ha isra ika, but there is the midrabanan. The yeshu darn chachila the green nats are going to be permitted milchachila ma'niu, which are this kosher mevatach haluka. We're saying that there is this din that a woman is lechachila chalila allowed to tie open her robe, and that's how we answer this tira. Okay, opetach mitzvah Pesach Chalukah, the mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.